J'accuse, due process and accusations.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for October 22nd, 2018. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine, and thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. My voice was fine when I woke up this morning, and now it sounds all gravelly. I'm sorry.
That's nice. It's, like that sexy
Kathleen
gravelly
Turner
voice.
Thing going. Sure, let's go with that. Hey, this week I talked about and wrote about due process and obviously tied into the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. And so let's just dive right into the comments because apparently we had a lot.
We had a lot, yes. So we started off with J'accuse and Carmen tells, or Winslow says that to Carmen and she says, prove it. And two, Ellen Jensen says, doesn't she know it doesn't work like that? At least not with the rational people. So lucky he isn't all that irrational, referring to Winslow.
Ah.
And Jay Gray said, when did we come to a place in society when an accusation was not enough to condemn someone? Oh, the humanity, to live in a world where there should be proof of a misdeed, perhaps even just a corroborating witness to determine that, yes, someone did something wrong.
Yeah, and clearly we're talking about, I'm sorry, is there another one you wanted to throw out?
Well, you can say that because someone's like just responding to that. So
okay.
Go ahead.
So no, I was conflicted because I do believe that women have been subjugated and have been abused and there are abusive people and there are abusive moments in these lives that we need to hear and we need to recognize. I think the Me Too moment has mostly been really positive. This was one of their nightmare scenarios, though, is that goes too far because let's face it, the people who had been fallen and stricken by these things, the men, these weren't just like some weird, drunken flirtation or something. These guys were sexual predators, and this was sexual assault. That's what this was. So, but again, we live in a culture that you should be found innocent until proven guilty. We didn't have any due process on this stuff. Versus they're going to compare it to the Clarence Thomas hearings. Clarence Thomas hearing in, Hill.
Anita Hill.
Anita Hill had plenty of cooperation from a lot of other women that this is how this guy treated women in the office. So that even that doesn't adhere as well to this or make as profound or as direct a comparison. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Ignatz responded to that was, in quotes, perhaps even just a corroborating witness. There was a claim corroborating witness. He ran and hid and refused to testify. And the Senate refused to subpoena him and ask him. There was a possible corroboration, but they didn't pursue it or even try to corroborate it for politics. Think about that. They refused to properly investigate an accusation of attempted rape for the sake of politics when giving someone a lifetime appointment as one of the most powerful people in the country.
I think there's something to be said for that. I do agree with, it's one of those things like, count every vote. Yes, as a Republican, even I said, count every vote back in the 2000 election. And this thing you should have investigated and taken your time and been judicious. But we don't live in a country of adults.
And they also shouldn't have hung on to that letter for so long.
Well, that's the thing is that when Senator Feinstein held on to it for weeks and weeks and weeks and then released it at the last minute, that's wrong. That's just plain wrong.
Because if she believed the Ford, then she should have come out with it immediately.
Exactly. So.
And so that was also for politics.
And you would have had the opportunity to investigate it thoroughly and come to a more rational decision. But we don't live in a rational country anymore. So what else do we have?
Well, Durack says, and actually I agree with him, it says, well, considering that a Senate confirmation is not a court trial and does not bear the same burden of proof, no, I don't need to prove anything. It's a job interview, and he's unfit. I'm not sending him to prison. I'm simply uncomfortable giving him the job. Prove he's not, and I'll apologize.
I think that his performance following Dr. Ford's testimony that morning and the following afternoon showed a temperament that was not judicious at all.
And he lied.
Which one?
About his the yearbook. You can't say that, oh no, those were all drinking games. Come on.
No?
That has to be a lie. I'm sorry.
And fart jokes, right? Wasn't that one of them?
Fart jokes aren't lies, but I'm just saying, whatever.
No,
that's what he said.
I think so. Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. I think his performance, for me, in Ignatz, is that Ignatz the last one you read? No,
it's Durack.
Durack has an excellent point I would have voted. I'm not sure. I probably would have voted yay because I think the accusations were not proven and that this was the nominee by the president, and there wasn't enough presented to me to vote no. I know that's really unpopular and probably, you know, going to get me in trouble. Is it? Oh, you're smiling at me, but not with your eyes. Oh, damn it.
We'll talk about that later.
It would have been, but I'm going to say, it would have been extremely difficult for me because I thought, I come back to his temperament. Now, would I have been angry? I mean, could you imagine having to sit down your 11-year-old daughter and explain to them what was happening to you and why this was happening and assume for a moment that he's innocent? You still have to tell your daughter, yeah, they're telling me that I did this when I was in high school. That would have been a very horrible, awful, miserable conversation to
have.
Well,
also, basically, is what it showed was that when he was in high school, he was sort of an ass.
Well, he was sort of an ass in college, too.
Everyone can be an ass in high school and college, and you can be better. And I think that would have worked out better if he had said, I don't think I did this. Now, but I was drinking a lot,
yeah.
And I shouldn't have been, and I was young and couldn't handle it, and my brain wasn't developed, or some kind of stuff like that.
Well, he also lied about drinking legally. He did not.
Right.
Drinking age in Maryland did not go to 18, at least in his time frame. So, no, there's a lot of things that are disturbing. I would have had to question that. But the bigger question is that we are not a country of adults anymore. We're not a country that is deliberative, that is, this is a lifetime appointment, which means we have time to look into things. We have time to investigate. We have time to consider. And that's what the Senate is supposed to be, is the deliberative body. Remember that, folks? That was a quaint notion all those years ago. But.
Well, it seemed to me that the Republicans wanted to hurry up and push it through.
Sure.
And the Democrats wanted to drag it to pass the midterms.
And they wanted to do that. Exactly. And they wanted to trip up, which is weird because they're not going to take the Senate. There's no way in God's green earth they're going to take the Senate. So why would you? Having the House doesn't do anything for you in terms of judicial appointments. But, okay. Anyway, what else?
Well, Braindead says, see, proof, quote unquote, is one of them words that only applies in certain situations, like when a Republican judge is nominated to the Supreme Court and perjures himself on live TV. Well, that's no proof of anything. But 17 congressional hearings? Absolute proof. She must have done something wrong. Lock her up. And whenever there is no proof of, say, collusion, then there is obviously no need for an investigation of any sort.
That's an excellent point. And I think that a number of cartoonists, I wasn't one of them, I should have been, I guess, talked about, what about due process? And then you start chanting, lock her up. Well,
yeah.
It's the court of public opinion is a different thing than court. There's no. So, I'm not naive in thinking that the same standards have to apply across the board. But there was no due process on this. And there was, I'm Spartacus moment. I mean, this is how we have fallen so far into the theater of the absurd that I don't know that we can ever escape this ever again. I was just reading, today, by the way, while we're recording this, it was in 1962 or 64 when Jean-Paul Chartres turned down the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, you were reading that.
So as the father of one of the exponents of the existential school of philosophy, I guess he wins.
Woo.
No, I mean, the absurdity of the times in which we live is gargantuan. It's beyond reckoning now. So what do our readers think?
Well, actually, I have one question for you, my own question, actually, because you also went into that we are a nitpicking society.
Yes.
But in this case, that wasn't a nitpicking.
No,
you're accused of rape.
No, I didn't say nitpicking.
I know. You said it was a nitpicking.
I did not say, no. That's not the word I used.
What word did you use?
I got this from our priest. A fault-finding society.
Because I see that nitpicking is actually I have on here, so I must have gotten it from the strip.
No.
And fault-finding. Ah.
We're a fault-finding society. But go on. That's an important distinction. It's really important.
Well, William Richmond said, the problem is that it is easier to try to correct other people's faults than to correct our own. To change the world, we must first change ourselves.
Excellent. Yeah, superb. And here's my question. And this, I mean, it's a bigger question. Maybe I'll address it in the strip. I think it might be too big and too philosophical. But can bad, flawed people make great art? That was a conversation I had over this weekend at a wedding we went to. And I don't know how to answer that. I mean, can you say, because there were painters, Pablo Picasso was a horrible. I mean, he would have been castigated in this, Me Too era.
Well,
Roman Polanski, Woody Allen, because there's, Chinatown is a great film.
I guess it's not that you're not saying, I think that bad people can make great art. It just means that maybe they shouldn't profit as much by it. I don't know.
No, it's very difficult. And here's the thing about being a politician. You're going to have, if you live a life and you live a vigorous life, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to screw up and they're going to be glaring and embarrassing. You know, if you run for office, that's going to be thrown in your face all the time. Now, getting back to Kavanaugh very quickly, if he had said, you know, what you just said earlier, yeah, you know, you can even say, have an excuse, non-excuse, saying, I drank a lot. I drank irresponsibly when I was in high school. It was a mistake and I regret it. This may have happened.
No, I wouldn't say, even if you just said, I don't see myself as ever doing this, but something happened to her and I'm sorry that
exactly.
It did. I don't think it was me.
But if you remember this stuff, or if you remember the behavior that was also brought up from his college years, where he was also drinking, apparently, you know, and he said, how many times? 32 times? I like beer. I like beer too. I just have to throw that out there. I like beer. Not that much. But anyway.
And we do have an accusation, actually, against
Okay, let's end
you.
With that, shall we?
Yes. Cheapskate Zero. He says that Scott has a ghostwriter and that a couple of years ago, a commentator actually named this ghostwriter. And this is what Cheapskate says. The real Scott Stantis comics may well be right-leaning, but seem to have an overall balance to them that is often missing from the current version of Prickly City. That's all I have to say for now. You want to address that?
I guess I should. I'm innocent until proven guilty. First. No, I don't have. Actually, I've never had a writer. Let me walk that back. I had shoulder surgery a number of years ago and had a number of other cartoonists fill in for me during my time I was recovering from it. And then, but other than that, and they drew in their style and they signed their names. But other than that, I've never had anyone write the strip for me. Have I? Why are you looking at me like that?
For a couple of weeks, you did. But just like a vacation thing, you let someone, you looked them over.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that's about it. But that's it.
Who was that?
Ted and Eric.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah, but it was like a long time ago. It's been quite a while, and you were...
Oh, okay, then I'm lying again. I'm a lying liar who likes beer.
I can't remember if you were on vacation or you were sick or something, so you went ahead and did that, but you did check everything over, and you don't have anybody write it but you. I've seen you.
Yeah, you've seen the nights.
Struggling to write.
Yes. So, okay, let me walk this back. Apparently, I don't remember that, but now that you mention it, I do remember it. So, yes.
Again. But it was like 2 weeks out of a... How many years?
Well, I'm coming up on 15 years. So, yeah, it's rare. I don't, I almost never.
And I have to address his being more balanced because you followed up all this Brett Kavanaugh thing with another Trump is a Skunk cartoon.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not balanced. It is a conservative leaning strip. I do see validity on the other side. I know I'm one of the three people left in the country who friggin' do that, but there it is. And that's not going to change. So, I mean, you didn't catch me, although apparently I have used ghostwriters. They actually said someone found that I had a...
No, I think because you have someone else draw it.
Yes.
Because you're having trouble with your hands, so because you're drawing so much. So, and that's not a secret.
No. Eric Alley is he's a terrific editorial cartoonist, very talented artist. And so he took over the drawing responsibilities a number of years ago when I took here. So I guess it's been almost 9 years. Holy cow. Anyway, so... But the writing is mine. It has to be mine. If it's not mine, then the strip just doesn't work.
Well, there's no reason for you to bother doing that either.
Oh, there are cartoonists who don't write it or draw it. So, you know, there's back in the day, they used to have assistants upon assistants, and a lot of strips did not have. They had the creator's hand was very light. Mine is quite heavy.
Right.
So, thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Seed Podcast. Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, and thank you WGN and WGN Plus for allowing us to use their equipment and do this podcast every week. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, please do so. Go to gocomics.com/prickly city, and you can even sign up and register if you haven't already and click the like button. And if you want to leave a comment, we might read it here on the podcast. And if you want to contact us directly, go ahead and do so by emailing us at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. And for all of us here, thank you for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.